What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Local Business Podcast. I'm your host today, Bruce Irving, here with you every day. Well, not every day, but every week. And we bring you a guest and we talk about how to market your local business better. Today, my guest is Tyler Anderson from the Casual Fridays podcast. He was one of our first guests on this podcast talking about user-generated content. And today, we're talking about an overall content strategy for local businesses. And he gives you some ideas of what other local businesses are doing to market their business on social media. We also talk a little bit about Clubhouse and we go over some news updates for social media and give our two cents about what we think and how that's going to affect your local business moving forward. If you want some show notes for this, go to thebruceirving.com. Also, follow me on Clubhouse. If you're listening to this and you are on Clubhouse, follow me over there. I've been doing weekly rooms about marketing, bringing on guests, talking about specific subjects about how local businesses can better market their business. So if you're on Clubhouse, I'm Bruce Irving on Clubhouse. Follow me over there and shoot me a message on Instagram. I am at the Bruce Irving if you want to say hello to me on Instagram. All right, let's get into today's podcast with Tyler Anderson from the Casual Fridays podcast. All right, welcome back to the podcast. My friend Tyler Anderson is joining me on the show from Casual Fridays, the Casual Fridays podcast. He runs a social media agency as well. So Tyler, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. Very much appreciate it.
Hey, Bruce, I'm happy to be here. Super excited to talk to your audience. I was actually trying to think. I know I've spoke at the Smart Pizza Summit.
Yes.
Have I been on the podcast, though? I can't remember.
You've been on the Smart Pizza Marketing Podcast. Yeah. This is for the local business podcast. So this is more for,
okay,
I'd say more, our audience for this podcast is more like real estate agent, local business marketers, local businesses themselves. That's who our audience is. Perfect. For this one.
No, I love it. Absolutely. So, but, well, hey, fired up to be on this podcast.
Then. So today's great. Yeah. So today we're going to talk a little bit about UGC, which is Tyler's specialty, user generated content. That is, we're going to also go over Clubhouse because both of us have had some thoughts about Clubhouse. And you recently did a podcast about Facebook and Facebook kind of for the first time really announcing how they send out the content into your newsfeed, which I thought was pretty interesting, which we kind of talked about on your podcast last week. I thought that would be interesting to share that information.
Yeah, absolutely. We can dive in all those and just to kind of dig a little bit more on that last one. So, you know, we as marketers over the years, you know, Facebook's always maybe put out things like, oh, we've updated. Do you remember EdgeRank when they used to call EdgeRank?
Yes, I do.
Like they would, that's what they used to call their algorithm. That was like in 2011, I think. And so they would put out updates and we as marketers would always speculate what that means or what changes and how do we, you know, what kind of content should we create that would, you know, serve, you know, our content out in the news feeds and get better organic reach. And really for the first time, Facebook really kind of went in depth about the newsfeed and how it works. They didn't really do it from the sense of a marketer. Instead, they were kind of telling you as just a user of Facebook, and this was on their blog, you know, here's how the newsfeed works and here's how you see the content you see. And I thought that was a really interesting article because what it did is it provided us as marketers really a roadmap of what we should be doing to maybe try to get that organic visibility in the Facebook newsfeed. And then to that point, you know, let's be real, Facebook owns Instagram and
right,
it's like probably a good, you know, visual of what you should be doing on Instagram.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Instagram, you know, it's funny because Facebook for a long time never really told you anything. And all of a sudden in the last couple of weeks, you heard two things. You heard about how they put out content into your newsfeed to kind of give you an idea of that. And then also they announced that if you repurpose TikTok videos for Instagram, that the reach is definitely going to go down. And they've never really before ever definitively answered any question like that. So I thought it's curious timing for them to actually put that out there now.
Totally. Well, and what's funny for, again, us who've been doing this for a while, you know, remember back in the day, they never explicitly said it, but we as marketers would test it. And we knew that they viewed when they were starting to launch Facebook video and they wanted us to create more video content. That's when they pretty much also started, we all noticed if we posted YouTube links, they didn't reach anybody.
Yeah.
You know, they wanted us to upload that video natively within their platform. And that's again, because they're trying to compete with YouTube at the time for the video segments. And now you're seeing it where they view TikTok as a competitor. They've launched Reels. Last thing they want to do is have people just create everything in TikTok first. And then, you know, oh, second fiddle, let's throw it in Instagram Reels.
Right. What are your thoughts on trying to figure out how these platforms work? Like, I know you know a lot of people in the marketing industry and you obviously do a podcast kind of having them come on and explain how these things work. Like, do you think every business, especially local businesses, should listen to that and be like, all right, that's how it works? Or what do you, what are your thoughts on like how these platforms work or how these experts say they work?
I think, you know, there's some truth to, I'm a big believer in like educating yourself as best as you can, learning as much as you can. But do you need to take everything with the whole, you know, as the holy grail spoken word? No.
Yeah.
You know, I think you got, you know, if you can pick up a little bit from one person, a little bit from another person, but then test it on your own audience, your own segment, because it's going to be entirely different. I'm not going to name who the person is. I have mad respect for someone in our industry, and they recently put out like this whole thing, how organic is not dead, and here's what you got to do, and here's the blueprint. And I'm like, okay, I hear what you're saying, but you're also, and their only source was their own personal social media.
Right.
Like that was their only segment of a test was their own. I'm like, you're speaking to social media marketers. Okay. These are people who are like hardcore on social media all day. Of course they're hanging by every word you say. So your content might do that, but say that to the local real estate agent, right? Who just maybe just got in the business right now and just launched a brand new Facebook page last week and is struggling with 22 likes and 90% of them are their friends and family members. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to take what you can and maybe listen to it, but then apply what you want. And I'd look at your own results. I mean, you and I, when we did this podcast, you got me intrigued. I don't know if you noticed it, but after we did that, I did my first reel. I'd never done a reel before. I was just intrigued by it. And this morning when I was walking my kids to school on the way home, I was with my wife and I walked the kids to school and back, and we're walking back. We're just talking about a client that we have at the agency level that's really looking to up their or increase their take on, or not their take, but increase their output of Instagram stories, right? Which we all love stories. I get that. Stories are great. That said, stories, for the most part, they go away after 24 hours.
Right.
Right. And I'm a big believer in like utilizing your time and your resources and your money. Like, that's what you should be doing. You should be optimizing that. Like, we all don't have more than 24 hours in a day. So I was sitting there telling her, for this one client, honestly, after you and I were played around with a little bit more, I'm like, a lot of these story concepts that they want to do, they could do a cool reel about that.
That's true.
And the difference is that that reel is going to, it's not going to disappear in 24 hours. And actually, because we also were talking about this, I don't know, I'd love your take on this. I personally feel like, yes, you can discover other stories, but I don't think a lot of people are going and searching to see like random story feeds on hashtags, right? I think people are going to the explore button, and then that algorithm, now we're back to talking about algorithms. I think what's really cool is I've noticed, like, if I hit search, I can easily get lost into Instagram reels right yeah. now that their algorithm is recommending to me as relevant. So I think there's a higher probability to be discovered, you know, by doing more reels content almost than stories content right now. And it's not going to go away.
I 100% agree with you. I always tell people that, and my wife's a real estate agent, so she does this quite well. Because I help her out, obviously. She does stories. So I always say the anything you post to the feed on Instagram is going to help you get discovered, right? I don't think you're right. I don't think anybody's going to discover you from a story. I don't care how good your stories are or how many you do. Very rarely someone's going to find you because they saw one of your stories. What that does, though, and this is how she uses it. So she posts information to her feed, reels, videos, photos, that can be kind of evergreen, but someone could stumble upon if they happen to click on one of those hashtags. But what she does is in the stories is she takes people on the journey of buying or selling a house or living in the neighborhood. And then what that does is once someone does discover her and they hit that follow button, she's constantly popping up in the top of their feed with the stories. And then if they do go to buy or sell 6 months down the line, they've been kind of following her along. So they think of her, but you're right. I don't think anybody gets discovered in the stories. That's where you build that deeper relationship and you maybe convert that person who followed you into an actual customer.
100%. And so I think maybe I did a poor job of articulating that. What I was trying to get at is like, if you have limited resources, okay, then I would probably say, hey, maybe as opposed to like cranking out stories that are disappearing, if I'm trying to get discovered, maybe I should, you know, create one or two really cool reels once a week, right? And then that way I have the opportunity to get more discovered, right? From new audiences, or to your point, newsfeed content that can help you get discovered. And it's not going to disappear. Cause if you are creating this content that disappears within 24 hours, it's going to be a little bit harder to get discovered. Right. But that being said, if you have the time, yes, you should be layering on top of that then stories, to your point, because now somebody's followed you, show up in their newsfeed every day with, you know, fun, engaging, authentic kind of you know, content behind the scenes, like you said, open houses, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
You know, so I know this is a local business podcast, and I think most local businesses all have the same challenge. And that is we have limited time, limited resources. And so it's all about maximizing those two things with social media, in my opinion.
Definitely. If I had to choose between stories or reels right now, I would choose produce reels, because that's going to help you get out there. It's not going to help you. I think that it's just going to help you the best. I'm curious to see, how did your reel do?
You know, I haven't looked at the insights lately. Now, mind you too, this was not a branded one at all. It was a, just from a personal standpoint, but it actually did get a lot of engagement, definitely got more views than what my stories get.
Yep.
And going back to the other point that we talked about, it wasn't dead after 24 hours. So, you know, and all I did is I did a funny one with we got two new puppies, two dogs. So I think I did some video footage of the dogs kind of wrestling and playing with each other, which was like, you know, 5 or 10 seconds. And then I used a tip you gave me. I converted one of my live photos into a video, right? So then I took some of their old photos over that and just stitched it all together. And I put on the soundtrack, Who Let the Dogs Out?
Oh, nice.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
I think too, the difference too, between stories and videos, stories disappears in 24 hours. I'm actually seeing that reels, if you do get some decent engagement with your regular audience, so like you produce a reel, you put it on your Instagram and it goes to your audience who follows you on Instagram. We're seeing if you do get pretty good engagement with the people who already follow you, that's when Instagram in a day or two will kick that out to the algorithm into the explore tab. And you'll see the difference between like a post and a video to Instagram is usually after a couple of days it dies. With a reel, we can kind of see the extension of life to 7 to 10 days beyond, because it did go into the explore tab and it's Instagram is actively pushing reels out there to show people those.
Exactly. And I think, you know, Instagram, again, we just said it's owned by Facebook. I mean, they're all fighting for they want the video views. They all want it. YouTube wants it, TikTok. And that's why TikTok's been, I mean, TikTok's only videos. It's not photos, right? And so people want, you know, Facebook wants our eyeballs to consume video content. And that's kind of, you know, we're jumping all around here. I mean, when we're sitting there talking about organic, I mean, that is actually the recommendation that one person I was saying who said organic is not dead. They're probably right. But the difference is they were saying you need to be creating live videos, video content. You know, that's what they were saying that they were doing to get success on social media or success on Facebook. And I want to say that their breakdown was like, you know, 30% of their content was recorded video. Another 30% was like lives. Some was stories content, but only like 10% of the content they were posting on Facebook was images. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, I guarantee you a majority of small businesses, like, they only post images.
Yeah, for sure. Right?
And that very well could then be why organic is tough. So going back to your first question, like, you know, what do you take? You got to test this on your own. So if you only have the bandwidth though to post images and you don't have, you know, I mean, I know we all say it, and everybody has a video camera on them right now with their phone, but some people just don't feel comfortable in front of a camera. They don't like the content. It's just easier to take photos. Well, that's fine. But then you just got to know that maybe organically you're going to struggle. So then, hey, it's okay to just embrace the paid reach, right?
Yeah.
You know, just pay to play then. You can pay to show up in news feeds too.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And it depends like what your starting point is too, right? Like you mentioned earlier, like if you have 25 likes on your Facebook page, you're not going to see any organic reach because it's not going to push anything out there beyond those 25 people. And it's going to give a small percentage of your view to those 25 people. So you may have to start with paid advertising.
So we had this one example, you know, we're talking about resources here. So there's a rooftop bar and, you know, they've obviously been, you know, they're struggling with the pandemic. We're here in California where you can't have more than 25% for outdoor dining. They're working with a very limited staff, and a lot of this limited staff doesn't really truly know what they're doing with social media. And they also, they can't afford to use the agency at a high level. Like they right. can't hire us at Casual Fridays. But I feel for them. And these are people we've worked with in other capacities. So they're like, well, what do you recommend? Like, here's what I would do. If you definitely need to like maintain your presence, you know, but if all you have the bandwidth or the time for is to create a few posts a month, that's fine, but you're not going to reach a lot of people. There's no harm and then turning around and paying to get that out there and reach a larger audience. So right. We recommended like, hey, just go ahead and create that piece of content. And then let's go ahead and target, you know, people within a 1 or 2 mile radius who live in the area. This is a gas lamp quarter of San Diego, and let's be strategic with the advertising and make sure you reach them.
Yeah. So I think advertising like that in that regard is definitely something that these local businesses should do, especially like, I know a lot of the, you know, we have another podcast, Smart Pizza Marketing, where we talk to all restaurants and, you know, they're having a hard time. They want to continue to let people know what's happening in their business. But like you said, it's now in Boston, it's 50% capacity, but across the country, it's various capacities depending on where you're located. So resources are low. It's not like this just happened a month ago. It's been happening for a year. So resources have been tight for a whole year. So it's like that everywhere.
Well, and one thing too, like we didn't really do a lot of this with our other clients because most of our wheelhouse, like when we work with our businesses, we're mostly tapped into Facebook, Instagram ads, you know, overarching social media management. But like,
yeah,
100%, if I'm a local business, like if I owned a restaurant, for example, like of course everybody creates your Yelp profile and you have it, but I would love to know what you think. I think Yelp ads would be something. Like if I had limited resources, I'd throw some money on Yelp, just targeting people again within a 1 mile radius of my business too. I mean, to me, like, you know, so I'm a big proponent of pay to play. Yeah. That's just how I operate. You know, I think there's no harm in that. It's no different than what we used to do back in the, you know, pre-social media. You'd want to make sure you're in the yellow pages, you know, you'd want to make sure you're listed in that. And so get your, you know, yeah, there's free listings in these platforms, but I mean, from what I've seen on Yelp's advertising platform, you can spend what, as little as like $5 a day. Like,
yeah.
Even like something like that to me is better than like not doing it. If you can guarantee some eyeballs on your content or on your business.
There's actually a barbecue place. Sean is in San Diego. He owns a barbecue place and he is a very much an advocate of not only Yelp advertising, but using like the Yelp Elite program that they have to kind of get the word out there and get in front of eyeballs of people who are searching and using Yelp. Because even if you love it or hate it, people go to Yelp to check out reviews and what establishments are like. So I agree with that 100%.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you do, since this is a local business podcast, I mean, there is actually a client we do work with. So I was making that assumption for restaurants. That's why I was asking you, because I know your experience with the pizza business, but yeah. You know, we work with actually a turf and paving company. And I actually was speaking with them this morning and Yelp represents approximately about maybe 20% of their overarching budget that we do it, but I know it's the second highest performer for them. Again, wow. To your point, people love or hate Yelp. People are going to go there. They're going to look at your reviews, you know, and you can show up when they're searching, you know, artificial turf and, you know, you might as well show up in there.
Yeah.
And they're going to, and the reality is they're going to click on like five of those competitors. They're your competitors. And now it's up to you to close them. But hey, at least you're invited to the party here.
Right.
You got an opportunity to get that business.
At least you're showing up there, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
And I think too, like it depends on what type of local business you are and where you're located. Like a restaurant, it's very much like if you're in a tourist area, you got to do Yelp because you got to show up when people search because they don't know the area. If you're in a more established environment in your community and you've been there for a long time, maybe you don't need Yelp as much because people know you, you've been there, you're part of the community, you've been around for a long time. So it really is dependent upon what type of business you are and what type of community involvement you've had over the years.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you bring up a great point. I was talking to this other, you know, former client of ours. Again, everybody's coming out as things are opening up here in California.
Right.
And, you know, her restaurant's been shut down for the longest time. And she's actually near the convention center in San Diego. I mean, and so restaurants like that, they are predominantly driven from tourists. And to your point, restaurant there, you definitely have to be paying to play to probably get on Yelp to show up because those tourists don't know the restaurants. Right. But if you're a restaurant in my neighborhood, like we're not going to Yelp. We're just going off what we see and we've been or what the neighbor, what our friends are, you know, what another parent at the soccer field are recommending.
Yeah, 100%. And I've been to San Diego a couple of times now for social media marketing world. And I've stayed at the hotels right around that convention area. And I myself go on Yelp kind of like to search out for restaurants when I'm there, because unless I get a reference from somebody like you or someone who's been there or lives there and knows the area, like I have no information about that area for restaurants other than what's online right now.
Well, and this is a great segue, not to take over your show here.
No, go for it.
Direct it. But I mean, but you know, we're sitting there, we're talking about like absolutely 100% and reviews. We're talking about that. It's one you want to go to show up there. So people might, you know, if you pay to show up as a display ad, that's great. But if you pay to show up as a display ad when someone's searching coffee shops in San Diego, but then they see horrible reviews, like you probably just lost your opportunity, you know, to get that customer.
Right.
And those reviews are a form of user generated content. That's what we talk about. Like you 100%, like, you know, the content that you create and the ads you can create are all fine and dandy. But, you know, if you're not providing a great experience where other people are sharing about those experiences in the form of UGC, you know, your deck is definitely stacked against you.
I think UGC is very, especially in the restaurant industry, is very underutilized. I don't think people rack their brains about what type of content they should create and where they should put it. And they don't look at user generated content nearly enough, in my opinion.
100%. You know, like I'll just get this out here right now. So, I've spoke about this before. You know, I'm actually working on a new keynote about this that I'm going to be giving for the Agora Pulse Social Summit coming up. But, you know, you're right. You not only is UGC underutilized, most businesses just take it for granted. They just assume that their customers are going to do it. And I think a lot of people have maybe warmed up to the fact and they know, all right, we should ask for reviews on Yelp. Okay, that's great. But yeah, you should ask for reviews. You should always remind people to give you reviews. But on top of that is like, you should even be asking them to share content,
right?
To share Instagram stories about your products or services, or your, you know, hey, if you're buying a house and you're a realtor and you just closed a house, I'd love it if you know, when you're putting the keys in the first time, you know, tag me in your post. You know, I'd love it if you said, we had a great experience. XYZ Realtor was awesome. You know, referrals are the lifeline of my business. And especially if you gave someone a fantastic experience, you know, more times, I'd say, I don't have a statistic on this, but I'm willing to bet over 50% of people are more than happy to do that. You know, I just recently had one where, as you heard earlier, we had a dog. I'm sure it'll probably make the bark. You probably heard the bark. So we went to a four puppy training classes. And at the conclusion of the fourth puppy training class, they said, hey, you know, our business thrives off referrals. Nothing would mean more to us than if you took the time to give us a review on Google Reviews. Sure enough, I gave him a review. Of course, I'm going to give him a review, right? So
right.
You got to ask for it. And so that ties back to so much where so many businesses, as I said, they take it for granted that we recommend people literally come up with what's called a user-generated content strategy. So you need to have a strategy. And for your listeners out there, if you text the word UGC workbook, so it's UGC workbook to 44222, I actually have a whole workbook template that guides you through on creating a strategy.
Oh, that's super cool.
Go do that for your business.
What was it again?
So text the word UGC workbook to 44222. If you also go to the Casual Fridays website, a pop-up will show up there too, but that's just if you just want to text it because I know it's a podcast.
Yeah. And I think like you said earlier, I don't think there's been a better time in the history of business to ask your customers to do something to help you out than right now. And they're more than willing to do that. I think now more than ever.
You know, so what's crazy, Bruce, is you're absolutely right. People aren't going to mind, and they're doing this already anyway. They're creating content, but here's the kicker. So there's a new study that came out recently from Stackla, or it was Tint. I can't remember which one it was, but over 50% of consumers wish brands would steer them to the content that they want them to create and share. So that's why you should have the strategy. You know, you got to have like, you just got to tell them like, or run contests or promotions. And you know, I've spoke about this at Social Media Marketing World. One of my favorite examples is a car wash called Soapy Joe's. And they came up with this whole car wash karaoke, you know, promotion. But like one, of course, they promoted on social, but two, like as people are driving into the car wash, they have signage right there, you know, talking about the promotion. They have a great prize. And if you go search their various hashtags they have for this, there's hilarious videos of people just singing in their cars to karaoke. And you know, this has been such a successful promotion for them that they've now done it like, I want to say the last 3 or 4 years.
Wow.
But then it's gotten the buzz where the local media picks it up. So now because of this fun UGC promotion, they're also getting like earned media on local broadcast television, you know? Yeah. So
that's a great example.
You got to tell people what kind of content you want.
Yeah. Like if you don't tell them what you think, what you want them to do, they're just going to do either nothing or something very random.
Exactly.
And they all know how to
take. So going back to, I think the point you said where a lot of businesses aren't even using the content, right?
Right.
You know, absolutely. So, you know, we do this with the hotels all the time. Like, you know, we leverage UGC. I'd say that probably makes up like 30% of our content that we're getting is coming from hotel guests. And, you know, we'll have subtle call to actions. Like if we know we want to really highlight the destination and if people are kind of, you know, going to go out and explore a destination, we might say, hey, like here's a little scorecard, you know, bingo sheet, for example, of the, you know, 10 places to go. If you get a bingo, come back, bring it to the bar, you get this. But hey, make sure you tag us in your photos too. And then, so now they're going to these other spots, not at the hotel, but other places around the hotel. And they're tagging us in their photos. And now we're getting photos of other things that we want to share on our social media, which highlights the destination. So you just got to come up with that strategy.
Do you have to ask them to use the photos?
Yeah, you should. I mean, you don't want to steal. Now, there depends on the platform. Obviously, if you are if you're at a pizza shop and you tweet a photo,
yeah,
if that business want to turn and retweet it, well, that's native. That's all how Twitter works, right?
Right.
Instagram, you know, you can in theory, if a hotel guest or not a hotel, if a customer posts something on Instagram to their newsfeed, you can go hit the little mail icon and you could share it to your story. You don't really need permission because that's native. Now, there are some rumblings and rumors that Instagram is actually taking away that functionality soon.
I saw that.
But as of today, you can do that. But if it's, say someone posts something on Instagram and you wanted to like post it on your Facebook page, by no means should you just like right click and save that image as, or take a screenshot and then post it on your own. You should try to get permission to use that content. I mean, 100% somebody, you do not own the right or the licensing right to that photo. So right. 100% I'd recommend that you either A, you know, natively ask them for permission, or B, there are some software tools that can help streamline that process too.
You have a tool, don't you?
Yeah. So I'm an investor in a tool. So we at our agency, obviously we, had this pain point because we were manually asking for permission and it's just a pain in the butt to try to do that.
Right.
So we built an internal tool and then we spun it off as its own company. So, yeah, our tool is foundontac.com. Again, foundontac.com, and it helps you get the licensing rights to, user generated content on Instagram. And then you of course can use that photo or that video or whatever it is for Facebook, Instagram, your website, email, newsletters, however you see fit. So it just streamlines the whole process. It keeps digital records to have, you know, proof that you have the rights to use it.
Right.
And then it serves as a media library. So say you're like, hey, I need a picture of a pizza. You just type the word pizza and
all the
anybody who went to your pizzeria and tagged pizza. And actually we built in some artificial intelligence in there too. It'll automatically detect it. It'll show you your pizza photos, you know,
nice.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. That sounds like an interesting tool. People should go check that out. I definitely think people need to utilize, especially if you're in the restaurant space, you being able to utilize UGC for your ideas and even just to like go, if you're listening to this right now and you're on Instagram and you haven't yet, just go search your business name on Instagram. And I guarantee people have either tagged themselves as being there or tagged you and you didn't even know about it. Maybe you did it. They did it like 6 months ago or a year ago with photos of you, of them in your business right now. And you're not even aware.
Yeah. Of it. So, I mean, you bring up a great point. I want to really drive that home. So, if you're a local business and particularly you have a retail brick and mortar location, odds are you have had a Facebook page or a places page. When you have that place page, on Instagram, your location tag shows up. So people, they may not know that you're on Instagram, like personally, and they might not tag your business Instagram account, but they're tagging likely your location. And so that's a great way to go see what kind of content people are sharing at your establishment. You can search that. And then of course, even within like, you know, you'd be natively on the tool or natively in Instagram, but you can still ask for permission on those posts to get the rights to that content. In fact, that's how we get most of our hotel content. Cause some of these hotels, their Instagram handles aren't not always as super intuitive, right? So your hotel guests sometimes like they don't know what your handle is and they can't find you, but they're just going to tag the location tag.
Right. Which I'm sure it happens to quite a few businesses.
Yeah. And then, you know, going a step further, I mean, that's something even I would recommend if you're a local business, searching that tag, not even trying to get the UGC, but you should be engaging with those people because those are your customers
right.
who are sharing content. Like that's where I would start. That's your low hanging fruit. Even before people are, you know, engaging and saying like, hey, nice photo on your content. Like I think a lot of times when we talk about community management, people always think about, oh, I'm going to answer the questions that people are commenting or I'm going to answer the questions and comments that people are doing on my content. Well, take that a step further. Go engage with the people who are creating content about your business, you know, but, you know, just show up. How cool is that? If you're a hotel guest and you're staying at a hotel and you maybe tag the hotel's location page or the location of like the fun time you're having, right? But you had no idea that hotel is on Instagram, for example. But then out of the blue, that hotel turns around like, hey, looks like you're having a fantastic time. Enjoy the stay. If there's anything else you need, let us know. They're going to be over the moon happy with you. Like
right. That's
how you convert them into raving fans. I'd also encourage local businesses to make sure that they're doing that if they're not.
I love it. I love that. Real quick, before I let you go, Clubhouse, it's the new app. Everybody's kind of hearing about it. There's a lot more people joining on there as we talk about this in February of 2021. It's still iOS only, but what are your thoughts on Clubhouse so far?
I mean, I definitely see the appeal behind it. I here's the pros. The pros I like is it's I think you know I like the audio only format. I like that you can just join from your phone, because like it's honestly something you can do if you're in the car, if you wanted to. You could literally join a Clubhouse room. You can't do a Facebook Live while you're driving. Like, you shouldn't, right?
Right.
But in theory, you could, in, you know, because you can just plug your AirPods on, you can join a room, and that's kind of cool. And you can consume the content and listen to it. So I like that it's audio only. I like that you can create these niche rooms. I think the con for me right now is just that they don't have recording, you know? So I love podcasts, but the, you know, 90% of the time when I listen to podcasts, you know, it's never the day that it was released, you know? I don't even know what day sometimes they do release podcasts.
Right.
Usually I'm listening to it later in the week or the day or when I'm working out. And sometimes I'm sure, I know you're probably a podcast listener. Sometimes my podcasts are just, you know, they're all queued up, and when one ends, another one starts, and that's just what I go with. So right. I like, you know, to listen to things on my own schedule. And with Clubhouse, you know, you pretty much have to join the rooms if you want to consume it. And I just feel for local businesses, like, that's going to be a challenge. So if they add the recording feature, like, it might be pretty cool later. But, you know, right now I think I definitely see it. If you're if you are a realtor, for example, like, yeah, there's probably some, you know, cool rooms that you could join, and you could talk about, hey, here's, you know, let's talk about tips and strategies to negotiate down the price of a home. Like, that might be really cool,
right.
People might find that interesting. But if you're a pizza owner, I don't know, until they add recordings or something like that, I just don't know if it's going to be, it goes back to what I said earlier. Your time and your money are the two most important things you have as a small business owner, right?
Yes.
And I've seen some small businesses, maybe like on the coaching and consulting side. Hey, that's great. They have 3 hours to go spend in Clubhouse all day, but a lot of us don't.
Have you started any rooms yet?
I've actually never started a room. I mean, I've joined them. Like, yesterday I had a buddy who's like, just from mutual friends.
Yeah.
And you know how it is when someone gets the invite and it's like, hey, are you available to welcome Mark or whatever? And
right.
So I did it. So I guess I started that, the welcome Mark room yesterday, but he didn't really get it. You know, so to start, it was just him and I, and he starts going in on like a personal conversation. And next thing, like, four people are joining in there. And I had to remind him, like, hey, Mark, just so you know, this is a public room here. You know, like,
wow. Yeah, that happens a lot.
I think he thought when he first joined, it was just him and I having a phone conversation through Clubhouse versus like on our iPhone. So it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is, like, you're right. I think that there's a couple different places for it. If you start rooms, I've started a couple rooms. So the last couple of weeks, I've started a couple of rooms, like local business marketing or restaurant marketing. And it's been pretty fun, like, to start a room. It can get out of hand pretty quickly, though, because I think I started a room yesterday at 2:00 Eastern time, and 3:30, it was still going. And I'm like, I had a call at 3:45, and I was like, all right, there was still people up on stage. You're like, you got to like make sure that you really moderate the room, and like, all right, we got to end this, because it's not like a forever question and answer segment here.
Well, and you can make another person like a co-moderator, and then you could let them continue the room. And I remember, like, I've heard stories about that too, like where some people in our industry would start a room like on 5:00 on a Friday, and it was still going at like 9 a.m. on Saturday morning. You know?
So Dennis, you know Dennis, right?
Yeah.
He started like a Facebook marketing with Larry Kim, and I was listening to it. I think it was like that room you're talking about. I was listening to it Friday night, Eastern time. It was like 9:00, and they were going. And like 10:00, it was still going. It was good information. They were answering good questions. It was still going though. So like I just shut the app down, put my phone down. I get up Saturday morning, and it was like 10:30. By the time I picked up my phone and opened Clubhouse, and I thought it was a new room. Like, man, these guys are hardcore. They're like, started a whole new room again Saturday. It was the same room going for overnight.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And that's to your point. It can get out of hand, or maybe it's not out of hand. I mean, that's awesome. It's remarkable that people are, you know, dialed in that long to consume that content. I'm not by no means negative on it. I see really cool ways once they fine tune some of the technology or add new features. You know, I was talking about this with my friend Joel Price, who works for the Los Angeles Chargers, because he was like, you know, he wanted to try to like create the account for the Chargers, but it's also tied to personal cell phones.
Right.
And that's a little, you know, he's not going to use his personal number as the one for the Chargers. So he joined personally. But we were talking about like the, you know, the cool or the access that people can have on a tool like this. And I think that's been some of the appeal. People are like listening to Elon Musk interview. Who did he interview again? Who was it? The CEO of Robinhood.
Yeah,
I heard, Vlad. I don't know if it's, oh, you did Kanye West recently. And then I heard he's invited Vladimir Putin, but I don't know if he's going to accept.
That's funny.
But you know, that's kind of cool. But like, I was talking about this with Joel, and he's like, how cool would it be to like join a clubhouse room where you, you know, maybe we, I don't know how much you know football, but Justin Herbert's the quarterback of the Chargers.
Yes.
He's won rookie of the year. He's like, how cool would it be like if we had a room where Justin's in there and taking fan questions, but also like watching a football game or watching, you know, getting his commentary on something. Like
that would be pretty
cool.
That's
the kind of the access part that people are going to like. But then it goes back to the thing you and I talked about. You know, if it can't be recorded, well, then you're going to really limit your potential reach and audience on that.
Yeah, so there was.
I love the audio format. Just let's add recording in there, guys.
Yeah, Sean Perry, who founded Blab, we talked about that on your podcast, but he just put a Twitter thread out and he said Mark Andreessen and somebody else, Andreessen and Horowitz, yep. They do the venture backed fund. They were really toting Clubhouse and they were in a room. And he was like, listen, if Mark Andreessen and Horowitz started a podcast, it would get millions of downloads per episode because their knowledge is just unbelievable. When you open a room on Clubhouse, yeah, it's cool. There's 5,000 people, but it's capped at 5,000 people who can listen to your room. So you're creating all that content and that podcast basically with those two guys talking that if you did it in a podcast form, millions of people could hear. When you do it on a Clubhouse, only 5,000 people can hear.
Interesting. But then they've created these other like carryover rooms. Like they did that with Elon Musk, remember? Yeah. But I remember I tried joining one and it was actually a frustrating experience because when it was a carryover room, then I couldn't see who was speaking, right? I was just seeing the other people in the carryover room. So I'm like, oh, who's talking right now?
Right,
like,
is it
the guy from Robin Hood? I don't know what he sounds like. So
Yeah. That's interesting. So yeah, I'm with you. We'll see where it goes. I think it may be more of a feature than an app, but I think that I actually tested out Twitter rooms. Is it Twitter rooms? Oh. That was called?
Spaces. Did you get an invite to it or how did you get in there?
So I followed somebody who opened a room. And once you are on Twitter, if you follow somebody on Twitter in a space and they open a space, it's kind of like it pops up on the top of your feed, just like a story does.
Okay.
And you can just hop in. It's open. Like you don't have to have an invite or anything like that. It just it looks like, you know what an Instagram live story looks like in the top of your page, how it looks like multiple bubbles.
Yep.
The fleet looks just like that. It's like multiple bubbles. So, you know, it's a space. So you just click the button and you hop in and you can hear people talking. It's like a random room of people talking. It's almost like you just walked into a party that you weren't invited to and like people are talking.
But you can't start one. Somebody has to have Twitter's like slowly released who has the ability to start them, correct?
Yeah, very few people have the ability to do it. So if you follow somebody or somebody follows you or vice versa that has the access to it and they open a room, you can hop in. But it's not as neat and organized as Clubhouse is.
Yeah. I mean, Clubhouse, like my only last thing is like if you do download it, like just be careful because it is, you know, like it. Your phone still functions so you can like easily multitask, which is a cool perk because you know you could be in a room and you can jump over to Instagram and follow and have like DMs with people on who are in the same Clubhouse room. But I've also heard some horror stories, like you know who Rich Brooks is?
Yes.
So Rich was like, you know, he somehow like he got one of those notifications and like he must have accidentally bumped it and he joined a room. And it was with just one other person. But of course, that person wasn't talking. So he didn't know that his microphone was on. This happened at like 10:30 at night while he was laying in bed with his wife.
Oh, my goodness.
Like we all know how so many which ways that could have gone wrong. But,
that could have gotten really awkward really quick.
You know, and he discovered it because he was playing a video game. That's what he was doing. He was playing some video game on his mobile phone. And then finally, he like thought he heard something. And he like noticed that his Clubhouse room mic was still on. So be careful.
Yes.
That's my parting words there.
Yeah, definitely. That was fun. That's interesting. I like your take on that. So Tyler, thank you so much for taking the time. Where can people go follow you or get that checklist that you had for UGC?
Yeah. So last thing here, obviously, if you want to find me anywhere on social media, including Clubhouse, it's at Tyler J. Anderson, but Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, every place is Tyler J. Anderson. If you want to connect with the agency, it's just casualfridays.com. If you want that UGC strategy workbook, if you go to the website, usually a pop-up will display and you get it there. But if you also just text the word UGC workbook altogether to 44222, you can get that workbook there too. And it helps you come up with a user-generated content strategy.
Fantastic. Very useful. Thank you so much for that, Tyler. And thank you for taking the time and joining me here on the podcast.
Cool. All right, Bruce, appreciate it. And thanks, everybody. Talk soon.
Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you to Tyler for joining me on the podcast. Say hello to me on Instagram. I am at the Bruce Irving on the Instagrams. and thebruceirving.com for the show notes for this episode. Anything that Tyler mentioned on this episode, head over to The Bruce Irving, and we'll link it all up in the show notes over there on that website. And if you're on Clubhouse, say hello to me. I'm Bruce Irving on Clubhouse. And if you want to help, if you want some help with your marketing, if you're a local business owner or a marketer for local businesses and you want to learn about what's working today and how to adapt and change and help these local businesses grow, you can check out our mastermind group specifically for local businesses. That's thebruceirving.com/mastermind if you want to get involved with that. I just want to say thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. Let me know if there's a specific subject or a topic you would love to hear about. Otherwise, we'll see you guys right back here next week on the Local Business Podcast.